This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Won't be here on Monday, so that is a blessing for
everybody. Hey, that's breaking news.
We'll not be here Monday.
Not here Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. No.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Party. Party, everybody. No collared shirts. I'm wearing shorts.
I'm wearing a T-shirt.
Flip-flops for everybody.
Yeah. I'm going to be gone.
We'll be here. Alex Kuhn.
Alex Kuhn? MVP?
He comes in and just plays so steady. Oh, they're yelling MVP for the captain.
Alex Kuhn's the MVP. That's quite a tandem.
Oh, boy.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
He's a backup.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. MVP indeed.
Yes.
Mr. David gave a polite golf clap during the golf highlight. We haven't heard one of those. Well, we heard golf claps from Dustin, but never a highlight.
Good morning, Mully. Yes, we congratulated Alex Kuhn because I don't recall any other time that we've ever played a golf highlight.
That's an awesome highlight. That sounds like my game. You know, ricochet one off a tree. Only mine would have gone the other way.
It was riveting. It was great radio. The polite golf clap in response.
Oh, yeah.
Dustin would be happy. So, welcome, Alex.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thanks for the welcome, guys.
And yeah. Brandon's always here, making us laugh and smile, so yeah. That's good.
He's a good man. That's
Monday morning. Open. Quite a weekend.
Well, I got to tell you, it's a weekend of hope and promise, okay? Because the Cubs are unbeaten. You're
yes.
never going to beat the Cubs in spring training.
Technically, they could go into the regular season unbeaten still.
Yeah.
The dream is still
technically,
alive.
Technically, the yes. sweep in Japan will set them up for breaking camp after they break camp. Never mind. But they are unbeaten. And the White Sox, wow, is there White Sox news. Wow, am I excited about the idea of a new investor leading where? With the White Sox.
You were the first person I thought of. Sox fans Delighted. Were the next group I considered. But I do think there's hope there because Justin Ishbia is the billionaire from Winnetka.
Building a giant house, by the way.
Building a giant house on the North Shore yep. and pulled out of the negotiations to acquire and to buy the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, they were down the road in that.
They were down the road in that quite a ways, to the point where people in Minnesota were shocked by this news as well. So we understand, and we will talk about, we'll talk to John Greenberg, who broke the story along with Dan Hayes in The Athletic on Friday night or Saturday morning, I believe.
Glorious. And John,
and we'll get some details. But the bottom line is, and I think you can interpret this however you choose, Rick Morsey had an interesting column in the Sun-Times this morning. But I think that the way I read it is that Justin Ishbia, a billionaire, is not going to back away from buying a baseball team unless he were serious about acquiring majority control
of another baseball
team.
David, I think the headline to that story is that, according to what was written, it was the Reinsdorfs. I don't know if it was Jerry who made the call, but the Reinsdorf, either Jerry or one of his sons, who contacted him and encouraged him to invest in the White Sox and pull out of the deal with the Minnesota Twins.
There was something about that conversation or communication that led Justin Ishbia to pull out of the Twins sale to pursue the White Sox.
You don't do that unless you think you have a future there.
And there may be statements, and Scott Reifert responded on behalf of the Sox.
Yeah. Okay.
And we know that there is a chain of command and a protocol, and that was the statement that pretty much everybody expected. But I do think that it's easy to infer what we're talking about, that common sense tells you if he wasn't serious about buying controlling interest of the White Sox or having it at some point in the near future, he wouldn't be going through the motions here.
And
right?
I mean, just for snorts and giggles, this is a guy who is currently building a house. I don't know if it's completed or not. That is bigger than Tom's on the Chicago lakefront, okay?
Sox one,
so
Cubs zero.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what the White Sox need. Some deep pockets.
Deep pockets.
A guy who wants to swim down and walk over.
Oh.
It's got to be part of his workout.
I think that having an owner.
An Iron Man owner.
With seemingly bottomless pit of money. That is something the Sox really haven't had. Would be exciting. Rejuvenating.
It's
and
so exciting.
That's why I do think that this reminds me. It's different context and set of facts, but it does remind me of the reaction to the 78 renderings last summer. Last spring or winter.
Yes, when you saw that
before the season, last spring training, we saw the patch of land known as the 78. We saw the renderings, and it was almost like the highlight of spring training for the White Sox. And this feels that way, too, because there is hope in this report. And there's a reality that he backed away from one
exactly.
team to pursue another.
Exactly.
Can't get past that.
No way you're going to get past that. And it doesn't matter what people say about, Jerry, who's turning 89 next week, has no plans of stepping aside or stepping down or selling the team. You get a powerful partner, and that's what you become, one of the shareholders, one of the partners, and he's the chairman of it, where who knows how quickly this could happen. And I get it. Everybody's saying, no, he's just an investor. As you said, Mr. David, how many guys are down the road in purchasing a team from the Poland family and then say, you know what, I'm going to buy shares of the local team. By the way, the guy is putting down roots in Chicago.
By the way.
He's got this house here. I know he's got billions of dollars.
It doesn't matter. You know what?
This is his home turf.
You do the geography, and Winnetka closer to 35th and Shields than Minneapolis.
Exactly.
Especially when you have roots here, you have an interest here, and this is a, loosely termed, we don't have to get specific or technical people, but this is a Chicago guy building in Winnetka, whatever, wanting to buy the Chicago White Sox or wanting in on the action. You got to love that because it changes the mix.
It does.
And you know what, Molly, about 2 weeks ago, I think it was February 15th or 13th, we spoke to Mark Gannis, who's from SportCore, who, if you recall, and we'll listen to this now, when we were talking to him, he dropped a little bit of a hint to the news that we heard on Saturday.
The Senate president said a year and a half ago
come to us with a single package, teams. Said to the White Sox and the Bears, come to us with a single package. That made sense then, and it makes sense now. So I would expect that there would be something put together. Now, you know, the White Sox have some other issues they're dealing with, as we all know. And I think that's higher on the priority list right now to deal with. And I expect they will deal with them well. That all having been said, I don't think the White Sox will get shut out of a tax source that was passed to keep them in Chicago. So they will be a player in this in any event.
Not to be naive, but what are you referring to? The baseball issues or other issues?
Well, let's say both. Let me not go any further on that, but let's say both.
Fascinating.
And it was.
It stopped me cold.
It was fascinating.
Because you know what it was about.
Well, we were both sitting here and
what's all we talked about?
Follow up, please. And Mark did seem to have an indication some of this stuff might have been going on behind the scenes. There might be a lot more going on than we're aware of right now.
Yep.
So things are happening on the South Side with the White Sox and ownership. And I'm sure that we'll get a taste of when we start taking phone calls. Sox fans, I wonder how they feel about this, and it isn't just something that they think is going to pass, because minority control doesn't mean as much. You have guys who have a stake in the team, but if you have somebody who's really going to maybe affect change, that's exciting.
Would it not be exciting if the Whites, and I'm just throwing this out there, mm-hmm. if indeed the Bears decide that the Michael Reese project is going to work, and then the White Sox get involved and can play some games in the same building. Is that what we're talking about here? A combined project?
It's a great question. I don't think based on what we know right now, that would be the plan A.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if we're talking about two different sites.
Okay.
Southside Development.
Yes.
Southside Development. Michael Reese with the Bears has a private developer interested.
Yes.
The 78 in the South Loop has a private developer interested. You have a potential for having two. I know we're getting carried away.
Yeah, we're getting really out over our skis.
We're looking grandiose plans. Yes. When you're talking about those kind of plans, you have two potential stadium sites being built in the city. That's major development. That's something that would be... You'd see a lot of cranes in the air.
I would also like to see kind of a light rail system between the two projects that would also connect to downtown.
Okay? That would be so cool.
Is that getting out of control?
That would be so cool. It would be really great and convenient. And
let's dream big.
Yeah, you dream big. The planners have to, and I think that you go into this, if this is indeed the direction the White Sox are going, with you make no small plans. You really don't. And I think you've got to look
Burnham.
At it that way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then he can start quoting Daniel Burnham again.
That's right.
And that's the one of the beauties about possibility, because you just don't know the details until we hear them. We'll respect the statements. We'll respect the glacial pace of this to some people. And we'll respect all the things that we don't know. But what we do know kind of gets you a little giddy, because the possibility of the White Sox being different, doing things, building stadiums, having a different profile, it would be so welcome.
Oh my gosh, incredible. It's just incredible. I mean, this is the team. Like no matter what anyone wants to talk about or say, this is the team that set the record for the most losses in modern baseball. So it is really difficult to look at this year and find something positive. I get it. Down the road, the list of the top 100 will include all these. That's down the road.
Down the road.
And they're still in the movement mode. They're still trying to move out their best player, but they're not getting the offers they want.
There's, as we say this, Garrett Crochet is pitching in a highlight yesterday for the Red Sox, showing and underscoring what you're talking about. The change is afoot on the South Side. So, and I also think when you reference the worst season in baseball history, it's impossible to get past. It's a kind of distinction you don't want as a sports franchise.
Dark mark.
But it's also
legacy.
It's also tied into what we just are talking about over the weekend. It's a historical cue for change.
Exactly.
It gives you an opportunity to look, okay, we bottomed out. and it's not working. We have to do something different for the good of this franchise because we just experienced the worst this franchise has ever endured. So now is the time to get a billionaire involved, to talk him out
of buying. Chicago-based billionaire. That to me,
yeah.
You know, you can't move to Nashville if you live here and you're building a house on
exactly.
the lake. There are a lot of eggs that can be. The Southsiders know the way north.
Does the Nashville mayor know that Justin Ishbia is involved now?
Let's get a meeting with him. Let's show up at his office.
Does Dave Stewart know this? I don't know. Is Dave Stewart involved? I can't keep track, but this is a lot of fun. And so Justin Ishbia is brothers with Matt Ishbia,
yeah.
who owns the Suns.
They own the Phoenix Suns.
Who was in town. They were in town over the weekend.
And Justin is more or less like the private partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing the same thing would work on this deal if he ever got control of the White Sox, that you'd have the two brothers.
One would think.
You would yeah. think, right?
Yep.
But I don't know that for a fact. But
a lot of things. And that's why the conversation at 8 o'clock with John Greenberg yes, will be good because they did a great job reporting this out. And I know John's been working on this for a long time. And Dan Hayes in Minneapolis, certainly yes. the guy's the twin side of it. And it is fascinating that you have two teams in the same division. Rivals when the Sox were competitive, the Twins, that was a good rivalry.
No, the Piranhas, are you kidding
me? The Piranhas, yes, the Piranhas. So you like to kind of get in their way. But that was fun. I think that was the biggest story in Chicago sports over the weekend.
Well, I mean, it was a great weekend for Chicago sports.
Yeah, it was.
Another big story is the Bears. The Bears clearing out money. It was kind of a Friday story. You kind of bury that. But $10.75 million added to the whatever amount they have. They're almost at $80 million, which hints at, if it doesn't outright say it, there's a big move coming.
It suggests that. It also suggests that there are only three teams that have more salary cap space than the Bears.
Yes.
I think it's also the Ben Johnson form or version of house cleaning.
This is...
They're tidying things up.
I mean, here's the thing. You got rid of a tight end that was not helpful. So it's nothing to worry about. The other cut is interesting because it opens up a spot you need to
fill. Surprises me, too, because he had more value or as much value in the locker room as he did on the field, DeMarcus Walker.
DeMarcus Walker cut.
And yep. I felt like that was one where you can never have enough good defensive linemen.
And that hints to me that they understand. Like, they got to get.
Who do you think the target is?
Well, I don't know.
A Bosa? A Garrett?
See, the Bosa thing is that if he is indeed cut. That's just money. There's no draft.
So they would have that. And I think that if we're talking about apples for apples, Bosa for Walker, definitely upgrade.
Oh, I
definite
mean,
upgrade.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Now, I don't know if we're reading too much into that, but you certainly have the more flexibility to be able to say, you know what, let's talk to his people.
This only costs money. Hey, we got this money we just found.
Right.
Come on.
$10 million is a lot of money to find walking around.
Like I keep hearing 10 million. It's closer to 11. It's 10.75. That's a lot of millions. I will take the 7.5. Whoever they sign, we got this extra. I'll just take that.
I think maybe you're talking to your commission because we keep talking about Bosa and you love the Bosa story.
You need the 0.75
just to be able for screenplay
rights. Someone has got to get their beak wet on that deal.
Definitely. But don't ask too impolitely.
Make him an offer.
You don't want to upset the young man. So, yeah, the Bears were busy over the weekend. The Bulls, I went to the Bulls game on Saturday. The Suns were in town. Kevin Durant did his thing. Their big three did their thing. That's not a very good team. The Suns are not very deep beyond the big three. But, boy, when you put them together at the right time, Booker, Durant, and Beal, they were hot. They were good. Bulls came close, but
that's what the Bulls are doing. A couple of things, and I can't believe I'm going to say it, but Josh Giddey had another really good game.
He really did.
That's two in a row.
He did. And he's making his play.
There's no doubt that he's played better than you thought he was playing. So that's a good thing. And of course, Matas, I think that hearing what Kevin Durant said, we'll get into all this stuff. He's giving you inside information about the way Billy is coaching the guy, which is good information to get. It's always fun to hear a player's perspective on what the opposing coach is yelling to one of his charges on the field.
I love that. I love that he kind of took us behind the curtain a little bit.
I agree.
And we'll listen to that during the pick six. But Kevin Durant, also one of those sage veterans that you listen to a little bit closer when he's evaluating one of your players or any player, because his knowledge is as good as his game. And Kevin Durant certainly is now at the point in his career where if he gives you that stamp of approval, he sees potential in you.
That's right.
It means something, and you hope that for Matias Bezelis it does mean something, and he uses that as confidence. Because Bezelis, frankly, that was the best thing that happened to Bezelis, I think, on Saturday. He had a couple nice moves, but he was sitting in crunch time. And only because Julian Phillips, I think, fouled out did Bezelis come back into the game. And Billy Donovan was content to not have him on the floor when it mattered most. And that's not great to his development. So it was nice to hear Durant say what he had to say. And that was a competitive game. It was good. It was a good day to be at the United Center.
Yeah, they're back in action at Philadelphia tonight. So
the Bulls are.
Yeah,
Embiid has all kinds of problems. I don't think he's playing.
Goodness
what a
gracious.
Mess! What a mess that is.
They're doing everything they can. Let's have a meeting about his knee. We'll just sit down and talk only to the knee.
Let's stare to the
Joel,
at the knee.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Just knee.
Get your arse moving again. What are you doing?
Oh, boy.
He's in trouble. He's in big trouble.
So the other thing at the United Center on Saturday, I know you're wondering, but yes, we did have the big game.
David dominated is the way I heard it.
That's that he didn't hear it from me.
What about that power dunk you had?
I did not dunk. I barely could hit a layup.
That's still super cool that you're playing on the United Center floor.
It was fun. We had a nice event with Remy Martin before the game. Good score turnout. Grody. The score personnel, you'll evaluate the games pretty quick. Grody needs some work. Gabe, pretty smooth.
Wow.
Marshall Harris, defensive stopper.
Wow.
Think it was pretty.
So he blocked your shot?
No, we were on the same team.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes.
Defensive stopper.
Cassidy.
That means you never passed him the ball.
Yeah, that's right. Marshall was getting into it. He had a little competitive flair there, trying to stop one of the younger guns on the other team, and he was getting started to take it personal. So he wanted to get back into the game.
All right.
Kevin Cassidy had a nice little showing, so it was fun.
Oh, really? How's Kevin?
He's got good athletic instincts.
Did
yes.
he knock down any shots?
Not that I recall. Maybe a layup or two.
All right.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I was trying to be in the role of a little point guard kind of. Directing traffic, that kind of thing.
Did you do your George Gervin finger roll?
I did not do the finger roll. I did not hit a layup, but I didn't do the finger roll. And it was really fun.
I bet.
The best part was shooting around before the game, maybe, because then we didn't have, it was you could take your own breaks that way. But it was a good event. Chuck Swirsky was our coach. Our team, the white team, dominated. Just
look
to say,
look
we dominated.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Put him in the Hall.
Chuck was doing a lot of coaching, and Bill Wennington was the coach of the other team. They had Ray Diaz and Alyssa Bergamini on the other team, and they could use some help. They definitely needed some help. But it was fun. I went down hard once. That was probably the low light of the day. Went down pretty hard.
You went down hard.
Went down hard. I thought it was. I was backpedaling, and it was just like it was. So familiar of a feeling, so natural of a reaction. It was like I was 22 again, right? Except for, you know what, Molly? I'm not 22.
Yeah, you fall harder.
No, you do. I couldn't quite get the ball at the tip, so I just got the – and I'm twisting in the midair and I come down. Boom. Down goes Haw. And
wow, holy cow.
Right side of the ribs. I think I've worried a couple people. They were like, oh, you're okay. I had a little bump on my elbow. My knee's a little sore. I'm okay. But at that moment, my biggest concern was getting up.
There he is. That's why he's called Floor Burn Haw.
That's right. That's right.
Congratulations.
Thank you for the Dustin clap.
No, yeah. It's respect.
I'm glad I'm here.
I'm glad you're here too.
It was very.
I mean, when they say you're going to get out on the floor, I don't think they mean it that way.
No, I do. And I started
out on the United
thinking,
Center
what
floor.
Am I doing here? Why am I trying to intercept passes that are over my head? Just let it go over my head.
Oh my
and
gosh!
And I just kind of Cooled off after that.
you took it easier?
You took it a little easy.
Yeah, look at the scoreboard. You're winning.
It was fun.
That's great stuff.
Good stuff.
That should be a lot of fun. We'll get stories from everyone about it. I'm sure Marshall, when he comes in, will get it.
Oh, he'll be chesty. He was good. Marshall Harris, good basketball player.
Yeah.
You can see that. Hawks were back in action yesterday. Austin Matthews. How about the weekend at the United Center? Kevin Durant and Austin Matthews on back-to-back days.
And David Hall.
Yeah, right.
Let's give respect where it's deserved.
Hawks lose last night, though.
Yeah, that's too bad. They've been losing. And they've been losing pretty good. I mean, it's I think it was Connor McDavid who said some teams come out hot and some teams don't. And I think the Hawks are probably in the latter.
Last hockey note for the day?
Yeah.
Did you see what Alex Ovechkin did?
Oh, yeah.
At his age?
I put it in the questions.
He had
all that time off. So he plays Edmonton, right? I mean, you can't – when you think of the Edmonton Oilers, don't you think Gretzky? Apparently he did too. He's 13 goals away now with the hat trick against your guy, McDavid.
Yeah, that's right.
And his crew in Edmonton. That was a blowout. 7-3, right?
7-3. Ovechkin has 3 goals. He's now within 13 of Wayne Gretzky.
He's going to get it done.
And it was the second.
He has enough time, right?
Yes, I think he can. 23 games. 13 goals in the next 23 games, and he will break the record.
Wow.
It was the second most impressive feat by an Alex over the weekend. The other one was Alex's rundown. Alex Kuhn.
Yeah. Always a champion with that stuff.
Always a champion, MVP.
All right, now we got to get to the pick six. We'll hear from Alex, right? Or is
no, Alex. Well, we're going to hear from Alex.
Okay. Brandon, though, is joining us.
I know. Yeah. Everyone's got a role.
Everyone has a role, and we're going to all perform them well next. When were the SAG Awards? Were they over the weekend? Because they should – I hope they're all listening and taking notes. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
All right, guys, what was your reaction to the Athletic's report that billionaire Justin Ishbia is abruptly halting negotiations to buy the Twins and rapidly buying shares of the Chicago White Sox with reportedly a goal of eventually being majority owner? Is this the Jerry Reinsdorf succession plan?
Oh, I hope so. I don't know much about Justin Ishbia, but you go. Go, boy, go. I think it's just a magnificent... My reaction after I fainted was one of, you know, pure elation.
When you woke up?
Yeah. Once I got off the stadium floor.
Once you came
floor,
to? Okay.
I was just standing there watching when you fell down and I just collapsed next to you. Sympathy pains. Look, I got to tell you, this is great news. This is great news. This is a little bright spot. When he was pursuing the Twins, I was just muttering to myself, like, oh, great. Like, here's a guy that's in town, and you know, he's going to be the owner of the Twins. Why don't you go buy the White Sox? I honest to God, have had that thought, and I believe I've articulated it to friends of mine. I might have even said it here. This is great news because it hints at more to come. It hints at a future with promise. It is all about moving forward, what's best for this team, and a guy with coin who wants to invest, who is based in Chicago, indicates that they're going to stay on the South Side, that they're not going to move to another place. I love this idea. I love it a lot more than any succession plan that would include, you know, waiting for someone to shuffle off this mortal coil so that his kids could sell it at top dollar, right? And who cares who buys it? Who's got the most cash? This is a great thing because it's someone that is now internal, and he had been before. They had invested in stocks, but the fact that he's doubling down and not owning another team would indicate there's no way you pull out of that if you want to be an owner, unless you got a good deal going on the local team. So I'm convinced this speaks volumes about the future.
I love it as a Sox fan too. Don't let this Cubs hat fool you. I'm only wearing this because Dustin is not here, so this is in honor of Dustin, this and the vest. But you're as awesome. A Sox fan, I love this move because of the fact that the Sox need this. Like, they need a shot in the arm. Like, going into this season, we're talking about the Cubs. We're not really talking about the Sox. You're coming off a historical 100-plus loss season. And then you got Jerry. You got a chance of selling the team. You had thoughts of maybe they can move to maybe Nashville. You hearing news like this, as a Sox fan, you got to love that. And the fact that they might stay here on the South Side, you couldn't ask for anything more. Then it opened up possibilities about maybe the Project 78, what – could yes. They invest their own money into that. And they're like, you know what? I can take care of some of that. So you got to love this overall. I love this move, and I'm excited.
In fairness, the official response from the Chicago White Sox from Scott Reifert, the vice president of communications, is this. This offer to limited partners has no impact on the leadership or operations of the Chicago White Sox and does not provide a path to control. That's the official response. This is the unofficial response. Yes! Okay? This is exciting. You can tell people not to get excited, but this is what people have been waiting for. Justin Ishbia grew up in Detroit with his brother. They have now, Justin's building the mansion we talked about in Winnetka. His brother owns the Suns. They're going to be involved in this together with Justin taking the lead. You don't back away from the Twins' purchase in a way that was getting people in Minneapolis excited because they knew what he wanted to do there, make them more competitive. He's a baseball fan. He loves the sport. What more could you want in an owner? People have been waiting for this for so many years. I don't know if it's going to happen. There's a deadline of Friday. That's the first deadline to pay attention to about what the people being approached are going to, how they're going to respond. We'll get some more details from John Greenberg at 8 o'clock. But overall, the big picture interpretation is that there is hope, once again, on the South Side.
I just want to put a football helmet on and run into a file cabinet.
Let's go!
Listening to you. I guess a batting helmet would be better.
That'd be better.
But David,
it's a better analogy.
You are firing me up. Throw as fast as you can, and I will head the ball with my helmet.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That the voice of our 7 o'clock guest, Brad Biggs. What do you make of the Bears releasing tight end Gerald Everett and defensive end DeMarcus Walker? The move clears out a total of $10.75 million in salary cap space. Do you believe the Bears have a big move or two up their sleeves, or have they just created more needs, especially on the defensive line?
My first reaction to this Friday was that this is semi-annual house cleaning, and you're going to get your salary cap in shape, obviously before the season, but also before the league year begins, and this is part of that. But then, Molly, you make a good point, and you think about it a little bit more. DeMarcus Walker has value to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's a veteran who plays a position. He's a tweener. He can be inside. He can be outside. He's going to be on an NFL roster, I believe, next year. I don't know so much about Gerald Everett, perhaps. He can land in Jacksonville with his old buddy Shane Waldron, and they can disrupt that offense together. But I think when you look at what the Bears do now is that their depth chart has a hole in it. And whether that's going to be filled by a modest investment in free agency, a semi-modest investment in free agency, or a huge investment in free agency or via trade, and I'm talking about nondescript defensive lineman A, Joey Bosa B, or Myles Garrett C, you've got room now.
Khalil Mack has been mentioned.
He's also a guy that, yeah, Khalil Mack, he could. I think I saw him say or quote attributed to him, if he's coming back, it's going to be in L.A. But again, things change and money talks. So what this does is it responsibly gives the Bears autonomy, flexibility, and all the things you want in free agency.
When I first saw this, we kind of saw the Gerald Everett one. Like, he's probably going to get cut. We kind of been saying that for the longest. DeMarcus Walker kind of semi-surprised me a little bit just because I know they need help on the defensive line. So I thought he can kind of move around a little bit. You can kind of – he could be a rotational piece, probably not a starter no more, but maybe, you know, sometimes go on the inside. So personally, I was kind of shocked by that. But to free up $10 million, to me, makes me think – a huge move is coming. You guys mentioned trade. I mean, Bosa could be one. I do think Bosa might, there's a possibility, I think he might join his brother, though, I think, in the 49ers. I would say this. I think three of maybe the top 10 free agents might be a Bear. And I'm going with the center from Atlanta. You got Trey Smith and then a pass rusher. And me personally, I like the Josh Sweat. Not just off the Super Bowl. I think he would be nice.
Wow.
Personally, now they can go for a trade, but that you're just that all that is money right there, and you can afford those three with the money that you saved up here. So I like this move, and I'm very interested to see what the Bears do in the offseason.
Josh Sweat is somebody I didn't consider, but that would be that's something
else. Well, I mean, the thing about that is that could create so much chaos just because you don't know which Sweat made the play.
That's right. Imagine Joniak, how confused he would be. Man, he'd be stressed out about that.
But that would be so chaotic.
That would really stress him out.
That would really be phenomenal. I'm all for it. Way to go, Brandon. Yeah, listen, you don't clear out space when you got the money they have unless you got big plans. So I think you're right about the offensive line the center and then make a run at Trey Smith.
Drew Dolman and Trey Smith?
That changes your whole team.
It really does. It would.
That would change everything. And then who knows what you do in the draft, right? So that sounds like a plan. I'm all for that. I don't know about which pass rusher, but they're clearly going to get someone. This is a guy, DeMarcus Walker, that played end but also played tackle. And there were times when he moved inside and was better than at least one of their draft picks, who's terrible apparently picking. Look, this is the Bears getting better. This could happen quickly. That's a lot of money to free up. It's a lot of money, especially when you already have enough. Let's hope that means they're spending. And I think it does.
I think it does.
I'm pumped up for it.
It's an interesting question, I think.
Do you take the Cubs' 4-0 start to Cactus League play as a sign of good things to come? What about the fact that their 6-5 victory on Sunday came after they were down 5-0? Do you believe in foreshadowing from spring training games?
Wow. Yes, I'm on board. I love it. Why would you not like that? They have been really good, right? So I think you appreciate it. You enjoy it. They came back. It speaks volumes about the kind of stuff we've talked about, which is the number of players that they have in their system. So, you know, spring training games, I don't know if anybody's watching it. It's kind of fun because names pop up, guys that you've heard about. And then at other times, you get a home run from someone you never saw coming. You know, it's kind of fun to fantasize and imagine how good a team can be because their players are young, et cetera. The only thing that is worrisome about spring training to me is that Matt Shaw is unavailable. You know, Owen Casey's been shut down completely, no baseball stuff at all. At least we're seeing Shaw able to take batting practice, but don't you need him to be up and running by the time you hit Japan? And I don't know that that's going to happen if indeed he's unable to start playing in these spring training games. So hopefully his oblique issue clears up and he can be ready to go at the start of the season. But you're missing valuable time if you're a young player like him. Cubs won't lose a game this year.
Wow.
I don't know if they're not going to. I feel like they will lose eventually. But with that being said, they're showing good habits, and you like this. I like the fact that I'm seeing some of their younger players really step up. I like seeing PCA. He did some good yesterday.
Great.
Michael Bush has been solid so far. So you like seeing that. The one concern, and I feel like what is going to be that concern storyline going in? Is it going to be the lack of power, or is it going to be starting pitching? Maybe they need an ace. But Mully already pointed out, to me right now, it's Matt Shaw. You want to see what's going on with Matt Shaw. You want to make sure that hopefully his injury is not nagging him too much, because you want to see what that production is. I don't want to see Justin Turner at third base all the time. Like, me personally, not that much. I want him to be a rotational piece. So Matt Shaw to me is a little bit concerning, but it's still early, so I'm just going to wait.
I think it's a good indicator of maybe the Craig Counsell effect this year. You didn't see as maybe obvious or early last year. It's better than being 0-4. It keeps your spirits high when your season's starting sooner rather than later, because March 18th, they count. So this is a good sign. I have been a little bit amused by the fact that Justin Turner's arrival seems to have generated a little bit more buzz than Kyle Tucker's. Kyle Tucker played yesterday for the first time, and then I think we're still talking about, boy, isn't Justin Turner, wasn't he a great Dodger? Isn't he funny? Isn't he a great guy in the clubhouse? Justin Turner may get 300 at-bats. Kyle Tucker may win the MVP. I'm excited about Kyle Tucker, and I'm concerned about Matt Shaw.
Yeah.
But those are the kind of things you want to keep your eye on the targets there, because a lot of this other stuff is very fun. PCA, everything that he has done and said this spring has been fun. And now that he's going to the opposite field, he had 3 hits yesterday.
Yeah.
He's making Ron Coomer talk about hitting already, and it's February, and he sounds great describing PCA going to the opposite field. And PCA, did you hear the story behind his number 4? He did it because Jed Hoyer bet him during while they're shooting baskets. If I make this, or we change your number, or whatever the case is, a good story behind that maybe we can get to later. But the Cubs are having fun. It's fun to watch them play. It's sunshine. It's baseball. It's a great combination.
It's Craiguary.
It's Craiguary.
Don't ask me about that.
After Saturday's game, Sun star Kevin Durant had these nice things to say about Matas Buzelis.
I like Matas. Yeah, I liked him when he was in the G League. He's long, athletic, can shoot it. Definitely going to have some bumps, some bumps and bruises as he get through his first few years in the league, trying to figure stuff out. But, the more experience, the more reps he gets on the floor as a starter, the better he'll become. Billy's giving him more opportunity to just play. I hear him on the sidelines, just attack, shoot the ball, the rest of his teammates encouraging him to do that. So playing underneath that is just going to make you a better player. And, just like the rest of Chicago, I'm just going to sit back and watch and see what happens from here.
That audio courtesy of CHSN. What do you think of Durant's encouragement, and does that help the Bulls' credibility?
It certainly helps Matas Buzelis' credibility. The stamp of approval from Kevin Durant is not easy to get, but I loved everything he said. It was like, this is Kevin Durant, NBA Hall of Famer / part-time scout. He knew his G League team name.
Wow.
How did he know that? I know it's hard to keep track of these nicknames and teams, especially if you're Kevin Durant, but game recognizes game, and that's a good thing for the Bulls. It makes you feel better about him being identified as a cornerstone, a foundational piece of this rebuild. It makes you feel better about Kendall Gill predicting that he's going to be better than Cooper Flagg. And it makes you feel good about just his compete level because it has drawn the attention of Kevin Durant. I also love the insight that he's telling us what Billy Donovan is telling Matas Buzelis, attack, attack, attack.
Awesome.
And when he doesn't attack, he will sit. And Billy's been pretty good about that. So that was a nice thing, and good for Kevin Durant to not be a big enough diva or prima donna to sit there and tell, he knows what audience he's speaking to. And he's saying something very, very positive and also analytical about the rookie. So that was fun.
TBA on the Cooper Flagg, Buzelis thing, TBA, because Flagg and Duke was doing their thing against the Illini over the weekend. It was nasty.
They did.
But to get back to this.
Boy, how many points they scored?
I mean, worst loss, by the way.
Oof,
but with that being said, I do like this. A lot of NBA stars have been saying this about Buzelis a lot. I've saw now we got Kevin Durant. I think I saw Carmelo Anthony talk about Buzelis, how he really likes his game. Paul George, who he's going to play later, if Paul George decided to play or not, you never know with his effort, is going to play against him later on tonight. The thing that Kevin Durant said, though, in that cut was just play. Like, long as he's just play. And I feel like I want to see more of Buzelis. I wanted him in that closing kind of lineup at the end. I get why maybe Kevin Durant was really getting hot against him, but I mean, how are you going to learn if you're not on the court, to me? I think sometimes you just got to get on the court and play. You got to take your bumps and bruises along the way. And I feel like the more time he plays, he actually is better. I would like to see him in the closing line, especially at this stage of what the Bulls are doing now with this rebuild now and kind of hopefully tearing it down. So I love the stamp of approval. I just want to see Buzelis play more.
Yeah, I think Durant is fantastic. That was great stuff. I loved hearing it. His opinion of the guy, just the way he kind of broke him down as a player. And then, talking about how you develop in the NBA, you get used to the game, you get better as you get older with it. And that is so true. With younger players in basketball, maybe more so than other sports, you have this, when their brain catches up to their body is when they are at the absolute supreme. And it's usually by the time you're like 24 to 28 where the game just connects in your brain and your body still has all of the ability. And you see older players that know what they're supposed to do, but their body no longer can do it. And it's kind of a cool thing to see. A guy like Durant, because he can shoot from anywhere, because he would be the horse champion, although Steph Curry would give him a run, he can last for a very long time because he knows the game. And this tells you how he thinks about the game. And he's going to sit back, I like this guy. I'm going to watch him develop like a Bulls fan does because he's going to get better.
Right.
It is a phenomenal piece of audio. A great look into the mind of Durant, the way that he looks at the game, and that little hint of Billy the way that he's coaching him. He's coaching the hell out of that kid, and he's trying to bring out the best of him. And I cannot wait to see some player development. I think we've seen it a little bit with a couple of players on the Bulls. Yeah, I'm thinking of Kobe White in particular. But I really, really liked hearing that, and I hope Billy keeps pushing him. And you're so right. He will take him out for the end of a game, not because he's trying to mess with his development, because he's telling him, you haven't earned it yet.
Right.
You got to do what you're told.
Make it and a point.
I think that's good coaching.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
Sam Quinn of CBS Sports today ranking an explanation of all 30 NBA front offices after the trade deadline. The Bulls finished dead last, 30th. Does that seem overly harsh or very accurate?
Well, it's harsh, but I think it is accurate, sadly. I think the Bulls had a plan, put it together, it did not work. And now they're searching for a direction. They need to get an F for the trade deadline. I'm sorry. They just didn't do anything, right? You basically dumped a salary. And they needed to change their team and to do something, and they failed to do it. And I get it. You know, they really like what's going on with Lonzo Ball and the way he plays, and it's probably going to help their younger players playing with him because of the way he sees the court. The guy, you had an opportunity to get something there, and you should have taken it. You should have. They should have done better and moved more people, and I think they came out of the trade deadline as a dud and without a discernible direction, and that's why they're getting dumped on.
I'm with you, Mully. I think it's harsh, but I also think that it's dead on, because we've been hearing reports too, like during that trade deadline, that, you know, they were difficult to like deal with when it comes to trading. They agreed to something, and then later, you know, when they come back, like, okay, let's send this out to the NBA, and they kind of backed out. I feel like they overvalue their players a lot. They hold on to their players too much, and that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of analysts kind of take shots at Bulls front office. And I just feel like they got to do something with the direction, and they fell flat, like you said, Mully, at the trade deadline when you were supposed to tear everything else down, and you only traded away Zach LaVine for pretty much no draft capital. And then you got Caruso, no draft capital, and then you couldn't get Vooch going. So it's like, how are we building towards the future when we really don't really have no future assets outside of Bouzelis? So I think that's one of the things why I think they're ranked so low of just dealing with other NBA teams.
The most damning part about this was that it wasn't personal.
No.
And it wasn't unfair, because nothing that it compiled in terms of laying it out there was inaccurate. They haven't won a playoff series since Arturis Karnišovas has arrived. They haven't gotten enough back in trades for guys like Caruso in terms of draft capital. This is a front office that is perceived to not really value draft capital, which is not a good perception to have for a front office. They are talking about a case specifically having a group, the ensemble approach, 9 or 10 players better than having 2 or 3 stars. You know what that is? That's what you say when you don't have 2 or 3 stars.
Yeah.
And that's what how you rationalize not having those guys. And then there's the unfortunate reality of the Patrick Williams contract. And regardless of what Lonzo Ball ran into in terms of a health crisis 35 games into his Bulls tenure, it happened. And the Bulls were slow to pivot. So here they are, rebuilding, trying to find a direction. Thought they had established a direction, a clear path. But it wasn't as clear as we thought, because AK said that they're still talking about the play-in. It's a very confusing time to be a Bulls fan, and it's a very confusing time to cover the team because of all these mixed messages.
Different question on a different topic.
All right, the Blackhawks and defenseman Seth Jones. Seth Jones spoke openly about wanting out of Chicago and even told the Tribune he'd consider returning to Columbus, where the Hawks lost on Saturday. The trade deadline is March 7th. Should Jones play for the Hawks up until the deadline, or would you sit him?
I'd really consider sitting him out. I would really consider trying to find a trade partner, taking on half of his salary and paying it out to get him out of town. He does not want to be here. That's clear. I understand it. Maybe the things have changed since he came and Stan Bowman gave him all the money, but you're 3 years into a contract that pays you handsomely. You should not be getting beaten to the puck by Max Domi last night as he did at the end of the second period. I don't know how much he wants to play. I don't know how invested he is. He's talking about going back to Columbus in a story over the weekend because his buddy plays there. He's talking about going home to Dallas because he's from there. Good. Go. If you don't want to be here, they shouldn't want you to stay. So I know that's maybe an overreaction, and he's going through a lot because it's tough to be part of a rebuild when you're a veteran. But you're a veteran, and you're part of this rebuild. Accept it. You're paid well. Play.
I don't like it. Like, the fact that he's not playing well and he's so openly talking about this, I think that doesn't sit right with me. I think if he was playing a little bit better, I think I'd be like, okay. I do like that he's being open and honest about it, but I think that's the one that kind of bothers me. I mean, if you even sit him or play him, like, what is his value? Like, what can you even get for him? You can't probably get much for him anyway. So I just don't like the fact that he's talking while he's not playing well. You know, like you said, you know what you signed up for. You know this was a rebuild. Maybe you thought it was going to be a little bit sooner than expected, and you're probably now tired of it. And I get it, you're a little bit old in your career, but I mean, I don't even know if it helps his value if he plays or don't play, really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anybody in Chicago would be happy hearing this. It's I mean, no one wants to hear, I'll go to Columbus. Look, send me Timbuktu, wherever. I don't care. I'd want to be here. You're making a fortune. You know, poor rich guy. That's tough. I get it. It's hard. You know, it's hard to grind out a season. We both covered enough teams that were losing where you go in the locker room and you get this. Oh, you guys are happy. Why would I be happy that you're losing? I would rather. I want you to win a title and I can write a book, you idiot. But that's kind of a negative, horrible thing to be covering awful, awful teams. And frankly, the Hawks are pretty bad. The Hawks have a future. They have younger players. We don't even know if they're going to make it, when they're going to make it, how the timetable's going to work. It is tough to watch the Blackhawks play. But if you're getting paid to be a guy, then be a better player. If you're getting beaten to the puck because you don't give a toss about what happens, get out. Go ahead. I'm sure he still has value. I'm sure you could trade him, but you are going to have to eat some of that salary to move him and to get something decent for him.
That's
so that's just the reality of it. But it's hard to hear somebody complain. It just doesn't go. You know, there are a lot of people that grew up in this town, taking buses, taking the L, living life like a human and not riding around because you're making millions of dollars to play a game, a kid's game. Get over it.
Yep, I agree.
All right, we got the extra point. Next, it's Mully and Haw on the score.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's this extra point?
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
All right, guys, we talked a lot about Justin Ishbia during the pick six, but how should White Sox fans feel that he is about him buying up shares of the team? With Chairman Jerry Reinsdorf turning 89 next week and the team coming off the worst season in modern baseball history, how much of a lifeline is this for Sox fans?
Well, this is a game changer, potentially. Jerry Reinsdorf turns 89 tomorrow. And at some point in time, if he hasn't already, you've got to be aware of, or I don't know about concerned about, but you care about your legacy. Jerry Reinsdorf's legacy would be enhanced by selling this team or by relinquishing control. That is not harsh. That's not unfair. That's just reality. He could enhance his legacy by having this succession plan in place where Justin Ishbia takes over as a controlling owner of the Chicago White Sox. And if you don't believe that, I think you have some vested interest in it. I understand the White Sox have to look at this, and it's very much followed by the book and say the things that dissuade us from saying what I just said or the assumptions that we're all jumping to. But it'd be very unusual for any prospective owner to make this kind of significant investment into a team without the promise of his stake getting larger. And so that's what you got to remember. This isn't just an exercise in, while it'd be cool to own part of the White Sox, a billionaire building a mansion in Winnetka doesn't need that. He wants a piece of the action. Pay attention, because this could get very interesting.
I said it before, Sox fans should feel like this is the shot in the arm that this organization needs. I think it gives Sox fans some type. You could be optimistic about this. Now, I know that, you know, he has businesses in Chicago and Nashville. And, you know, it can go either way still. But the fact that it could stay here on the South Side, I mean, you need that. And, you know, I think about his brother and how he's running the Suns. And I know it's not good over there, but he's at least spending money. Now, NBA, it's a little different, spending money with the salary cap. Mm-hmm. Baseball, I mean, coming from where, as a Sox fan, where we're not spending money. We just gave the richest deal to Benintendi. I mean, to have someone, if there's a star out there, to hear that the Sox name is always could be in it, you want to spend to at least try to win. I think that's the thing that I would want personally as a Sox fan. I'm like, at least he's trying. He's spending the money. I mean, you'll be beloved by that if you're a Chicago fan for both sides of teams, because that's
tomorrow's
what we want.
Pick six. If Kyle Tucker becomes a free agent and Justin Ishbia buys the White Sox, Chicago team has a better chance of getting Kyle Tucker?
You know,
then you got Vlad, too. Come on, yeah.
I think what you said is really important, because it offers hope to Sox fans. And you know, the White Sox have cut so much payroll, which they lost whatever it was, 161 games. No, what did they lose? They won 41 games, is that it? I mean, mother of God, you can't lose 121 games and look at your season as anything but an abject failure. Look at everything you're doing as total failure. They're trying to change internally some of the things they've been doing. You know, I don't know, we can argue about airplanes, we can talk, but what you're saying is accurate. There isn't a free agent out there that's saying, hey, you know, I really hope that the Sox are interested, so I can go and live like Seth Jones in Chicago, just be miserable and want out, even though I got a nice contract that doesn't matter because there's more to it. That's how you feel about the White Sox. They're not a player in anything. They're not going to get Kevin Durant or with Booker or any. They're not going to do it. So they just have guys they hope grow up and be stars, and that is. Let me tell you something. Somebody sent me a top 100 list with the White Sox when they had all these young guys on the way up, all of whom failed. You know, when Moncada was number one. That's kind of what we're looking at. We're hoping that all these people turn into these great stars, because you're not going to be able to coax anyone here. You don't have the money, and you're going to lose. And so you're going to get kind of people that don't mind losing. You're not going to be, your name will never be mentioned. If you can get a guy that has deep pockets, he could be your version of the Mets. You know what I'm saying? That's what you're after. Somebody that is just a fan that wants to win and wants to pay money, and not a guy that's using this team to earn every penny.
A guy that's going to compete with the Cubs to see who can spend more or who can do more for their baseball team.
A big market owner.
A big market owner.
We talk about this, too, all the time with every Chicago sports team. You wanted to change the culture, and this right here would change that Sox culture.
Oh,
right
my
here.
God, that's such a great point. Yeah, no doubt about it. So it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what they've done or how they made their money. It just matters that they're going to go in there and spend it, right? That's all you're after as a fan. You want to be in the mix. You want your name mentioned with other teams. It doesn't matter. Why can't the White Sox become the Bo Sox? What is the
It's a good question. Thing? I wonder how people reacted to it. 312-644-6767.
Yeah, we'll get to your calls now. 312-644-6767. Do you like the hint of new ownership? Mully and Haw on the score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Talking about the news that Matt Ishbia, the Chicago-based billionaire, who's building a beautiful home on the lakefront in Winnetka is
Justin.
Matt's
the brother. Yeah.
Yeah, there's two brothers.
Yep.
It's Justin, and he is now becoming an investor. He was pursuing the Minnesota Twins, going to buy the Minnesota Twins. They were down the road with that deal.
The expectation was on opening day, by opening day, they would have a deal in place
yes.
for new ownership in Minneapolis, new ownership to take over the Twins, and Justin Ishbia was going to be that guy.
And instead, he was contacted by the Reinsdorfs. I don't know if that was Jerry or one of his sons, but that's the information. And they're like, hey, what are you doing? Why don't you stay here? He's got some shares in the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to buy out more shares. And he's going to get more control of the White Sox.
The deal still needs league approval for him even to get this far. It's being brokered, according to the story, by Chicago Area Investment Advisors, BDT, and MSD Partners. So this is the next step. It got some publicity over the weekend. I'm curious if it will affect the process. But White Sox Limited Partners were recently informed that an investor wanted to buy their shares at a franchise valuation around $1.8 billion. And they're not required to sell, nor will their stakes be diluted by this new investor. The deadline for their decision, though, is Friday.
Okay, so he should get more of the team by Friday. I would imagine that there are people that have been longtime investors that want to cash out. Now, there was a group that did cash out before, but now the evaluation is higher.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other people that, okay, I wouldn't go the first time, but now I might go. Mm-hmm. It's almost like offering people one of those buyout type things.
Yeah.
Where you can leave the Tribune, Mr. David, but yeah. we'll pay you this amount of money.
Exactly. Please leave.
Yeah.
Isn't that awful? Please leave. We'll pay you to leave. But you see it going on all over the place.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. What is also important to remember is that this process is a long one, but it also maybe began. If he ever ends up being the controlling chairman or controlling owner of this team, it began 4 years ago. Sox were a very different franchise 4 years ago, on the field and off.
Yes.
But that's when they had bought into a limited partnership. And at the time, Michael Reinsdorf's two sons, Jerry Reinsdorf's two sons, Michael and Jonathan, they led the push, according to the story, to buy out the team's limited partners. So this has been somebody who's been involved on the periphery for a while. Now it seems like there's some indication he wants to be a little bit more visible and involved. That's good news.
Yeah, anything is good because of what happened on the field last year and the way that the White Sox were sort of caught out, right? I mean, every story you read, everything about the contrary use of sabermetrics, whether or not they were on the same page, whether or not the information was being distributed correctly, they were going about business.
And how much are you investing in your team?
Oh, that's a great point.
See, because the payroll, they're 29th in payroll.
Yeah.
They're in cash. According to SpotRec, they're $72.3 million.
Wow. I thought it was 80. But
that's below.
And they were 150 last year or something like that, right? They spent a lot of money.
I'll have to check. They did spend some money, but their total cash, according to SpotRec right now, is 29th in the league, below the Oakland/Sacramento A's. They're no longer the Oakland A's. They're just the Athletics. They're going to split their time in Sacramento, and they're on their way to Vegas. But they're in shambles, and they spend more in cash than the White Sox. That's just a fact.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, 312-644-6767. We're going to get back to this. We've got Biggs time next. A lot going on, free agency. Everyone getting excited. Hey, the scouting combine's starting too this week. So we'll talk to Big Z next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
I keep it real.